Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Witness Lee. Witness Lee was captured by the Lord Jesus as a young man of 19 in his native China. He consecrated his life to preach the gospel, and later labored side by side with Watchman Nee for parts of 3 decades, before eventually bringing this ministry to the West in 1962. He spent the next 35 years speaking to Christians in North America and all over the world before going to be with the Lord in 1997. The life study of the Bible is his most significant contribution to the heritage of biblical exposition, and we're delighted to be able to bring you short portions of his spoken ministry today. If you have questions or comments, or would like to find other Christians in your area enjoying this same ministry, just email us, radio@lsm.org. Again, that's radio@lsm.org. Here's today's program. After 40 years of experiences in the wilderness, God is ready to fulfill his promise to his people Israel, to give them the good land. But there are some requirements that he places upon them, because this land has been occupied, even polluted, by various peoples apart from Israel, peoples with other gods and idols. So before Israel can inherit the land, they must first drive out all these inhabitants, destroy their idols, and tear down the high places. If they don't, they will be troubled by these things throughout their days. Once again, the Old Testament provides us with a rich and profound illustration of how we must possess our good land, the all-inclusive Christ. Ron Kangas has returned for another life study from the book of Numbers. Ron, welcome once again to our program.
It's good to be back and to continue the fellowship on the spiritual significance of the record in Numbers as unfolded through the life study.
Ron, as we have alluded to now, the children of Israel, they're camped right at the gate, so to speak, of the good land, ready to go in, ready to possess it. But the Lord gives them a final set of statutes related to their inheriting the land. In chapter 33, verses 51, 52, and 53, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you pass over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and you shall destroy all their figured stones and destroy all their molten images and demolish all their high places. And you shall take possession of the land and dwell in it, for to you I have given the land to possess it." A couple of things are mentioned here, Ron. First, they're instructed to drive out all the inhabitants that are within the land, and then they must destroy both the idols and tear down the high places. Before we get to the message today, remind us once again of what the good land represents for us in our pursuit of Christ and the Christian life.
In responding to your request, I wish to point out that we're dealing here with typology.
Mm-hmm.
And a typological approach is very valid at the right time and at the right place. Paul himself in 1 Corinthians tells us that the history of Israel is a type of us, the believers in Christ, practicing the church life. And what happened to them are types of us. And in connection with the experience of the people of Israel, we have many types of Christ. The Passover lamb is clearly a type of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The manna in the wilderness is surely a type of Christ. The cleft rock whence flowed the living water is another type of Christ. The offerings are types of Christ. The principle is the same with the good land, the land of Canaan. And the good land with all of its produce is a type of the all-inclusive Christ. By all-inclusive Christ, we mean that Christ, God incarnate to be our Redeemer, Savior, and Lord, is the reality of God and man and every positive thing in the universe. Paul in Colossians 1:12 clearly speaks of this and draws upon the imagery and the type in the Old Testament when speaking of our allotted portion of Christ for our enjoyment. So in type and in spiritual significance, for the children of Israel to possess the good land and deal with the negative things is a picture of the believers in Christ pressing on in their spiritual development to experience and enjoy Christ in his all-inclusiveness. And in order to have this attainment of Christ, we need to deal with the negative, frustrating things signified by the tribes in the land and the idolatrous things that were to be destroyed. Anything that frustrates our experience and enjoyment of the all-inclusive Christ, especially anything in our being, must be thoroughly dealt with so that we may know Christ not only as the Lamb and as the manna, but as the land with its unsearchable riches.
Ron, I think this is another one of those messages that our listeners will take a great deal of appreciation for the richness in God's Word, especially as it's been unveiled in this life study of such a book as Numbers. Let's join Witness Lee. We'll look at this matter of driving out the inhabitants of the land.
They are just at the gate of the good land. So God gave them some status. The status for inheriting the good land. After passing over the Jordan and entering into the land of Canaan, the sons of Israel were to drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before them, number one. Number two, destroy all the figured stones cut into images. These are idols. Demolish all their high places. In the Old Testament, whenever the high places are mentioned, that denoted the places where the Gentiles worship their idols, and take possession of all the land and settled in it. Number one, you have to drive out all the inhabitants of the land. Number two, destroy all their idols, whether stone idols or metal idols. Number three, demolish all their high places. To demolish all the places where the Gentiles worshipped their idols and then took possession of the land and settled in it. If they would not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before them, those whom they allowed to remain would be as pricks in their eyes. Surely we don't like to have a prick in our eyes and a thorn in our sight. How about this? This means what? These the enemies which we would not destroy, they would become our troubles. Troubles in eyes, we cannot see clearly. Troubles in our sight, we cannot have any kind of peace. Suppose there is a thorn in your sight. I don't think you can have peace. We have to drive out the enemy and destroy them. If we are allowed to remain, they will become our troubles.
Well, Ron, we have these three things mentioned, the inhabitants that were required to be driven out, and then the idols and the high places. Let's talk about the inhabitants and the spiritual significance that this point has for us.
The spiritual significance of the inhabitants, the pagan tribes, involves the principalities and powers. This involves the warfare with the evil angels who are parts of the kingdom of Satan and that hinder us from progressing and gaining the all-inclusive Christ. The enemy knows that God's purpose is fulfilled not in Egypt nor in the wilderness, but in the good land. A book, more than any other book that reveals Christ in his all-inclusiveness, is Colossians. And in chapter 2 of Colossians, you have a striking account of the defeat, the stripping off of the principalities and powers through the death of Christ on the cross.
Right.
And we have the same concept in Ephesians. In chapter 3, we read of the unsearchable riches of Christ and of the body of Christ, his fullness, coming into practical expression through our experience and enjoyment of the all-inclusive Christ with his unsearchable riches. But there are opposing factors. And we may say the chief opposing factor is the authority of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, with his evil spirits, the fallen angels, typified by the pagan tribes that needed to be eradicated so that the way would be clear for God's people to enter, possess, and enjoy the good land, typifying the all-inclusive Christ. In brief, to gain Christ in his all-inclusiveness involves an intense fight against the frustrating enemy.
What about his point here at the end, that if we fail to take care of this aspect, these things or these tribes in the land will plague us, trouble us for the rest of our days?
If we settle for a kind of coexistence, if we're not absolute, although we are in the land partially and have possession of the land partially, we will be constantly vexed by the undealt with enemies. And simply put, this is the warning. If you don't drive them out, there'll be pricks in your eyes. How do we respond when we get even a speck in our eye? It seems that we're disabled. We're totally occupied with getting that thing out of our eye. Imagine pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. What kind of enjoyment of the land could they have when they are tormented and harassed in this way? So the word was clear, if you do not exterminate them, then they will be used to torment and trouble you all of your days.
Well, we've got idols and high places yet to deal with. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Now, we have to realize Christ has been given to us as our portion for our enjoyment. Yet, there is a statute, which is a condition for us to keep. That is, we have to cooperate with God's ordination to drive out all the things within us other than Christ, other than God. Anything that is occupying us as something other than God, other than Christ, we have to drive them out. And we have to destroy all kinds of idols, all kinds of idols, not just one kind. And what are the idols? We know. The proper definition of the idols is anything that occupies you other than God, that is an idol. Degree, gold houses, gold job, promotion, position, a gold name, all the things other than God that occupy us, that is an idol. So we have to cooperate with God to such extent to destroy all the things that occupy us other than God. And we have to destroy all the high places, leaving not one inch to the worship of idol. So many times, in so many occasions, we just couldn't have the enjoyment of Christ. Whether you can have enjoyment of Christ or not, it all depends upon the clearance within you. The good land today is right in you. Within you, is there a clearance absolutely carried out or not? Still something, some occupants, still something other than God within you, even some inch for the worship of anything other than God, that annuls our enjoyment of Christ.
Ron, as we look at this matter of the idols and the high places as it's applied to us, we see a number of things that he listed here as examples, all of which seem to be good things. Yet these things can become idols in our lives, can't they?
Not only can they become, but it's a virtually universal condition among God's people that what in principle are idols in their being. One reason for saying this is, where is there the experience and enjoyment of the all-inclusive Christ? Where are the sermons on this? Where are the classes on this in the schools? Where are the books? Where are the songs? So God's people, obviously, for the most part, are not in this realm. And we have to inquire why, and there are several reasons why. But relative to the point that we are on, if our inner being is occupied by something other than God, that occupying thing is an idol. One may have a house, even a nice house, a new house, as a necessity. But the house can become an occupying thing. Same with one's education, or a job, or a career, so-called, or sports, or entertainment, or a concern with our health. I know of situations where preachers idolize the giving of sermons. They love this. It occupies them. Any number of things can become occupying factors. They replace God. They replace the all-inclusive Christ. They have a particular spot in our being, and the Lord cannot occupy that place. The presence of these things nullifies our experience and enjoyment of the all-inclusive Christ. That is the truth. So this ordinance, this requirement that God's people destroy the idols has a powerful application to us. If we do not tear down, destroy, remove, abolish, annihilate the occupying things, we'll spend our whole life as believers and never know Christ in his all-inclusiveness, no matter what claims we may make for ourselves. So we need to open to the Lord and be enlightened by the Lord and be absolute and even desperate with the Lord that nothing that we need for our human life would become an occupying idol in our heart, frustrating us from experiencing the all-inclusive Christ.
Ron, there's one segment left today. I want to set it up briefly. And it had to do with the tribes of Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh. As they were approaching the good land, they were coming down the hills of Gilead, just on the east side of the Jordan. And as they saw this land, they decided to choose it and asked Moses to beseech Jehovah on their behalf to let them have that as their portion, rather than to cross the Jordan with the rest of the tribes and take the portion that the Lord was going to allot to them. And we saw this matter of our own choice, and Witness Lee comes back to it briefly in this portion today, and I'm glad you get a chance to add your portion to this fellowship. So let's go back, listen to a very brief portion by Witness Lee, and then we'll have a chance to fellowship this point.
Concerning the boundary of the good land, all the students, including the Christian teachers of the Bible, cannot tell us definitely what is the size of their good land. The top portion of the good land is that narrow strip of land between Mediterranean and the river of Jordan. And this narrow strip is exactly what the nation of Israel occupies today. It means that good land has been regained. Amen. By the people of God. After gaining this narrow strip of land in 1948, Israel went on further to capture the east part of Jordan, right? The land east to Jordan, which today is a problem, right? This piece of land is a piece of land through the generations always having problems. So you see, our own choice doesn't work so well. We thought that's the best. Actually, that's the worst.
Ron, pick up the story here and touch this matter once again of our own choice as we see it demonstrated by this story.
God had ordained that his people cross the Jordan, enter into the good land, possess it, and establish in it God's kingdom with the temple for God's dwelling place. That was the promise. That was the covenant made to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now God's people are approaching the gateway into the good land, and the 2.5 tribes see a very delightful portion of land, and they want it. And eventually, they were allowed to possess that land under the condition that they would fight with the rest of the tribes to possess the land the other side of the Jordan. But that was their choice. You can't say it's wrong, you can't say it's right, but it misses the mark a lot. God promises something in his word, and the believers claim that promise according to their choice, according to their assessment. Eventually they get it, and just as that portion of the land, if we can consider it that, and we can, was the first to be lost, these dear saints are troubled by having their own choice. God's way was for the people to enter into the land by crossing the Jordan, that is, by experiencing the application of the cross of Christ to the self, and take possession of the land, then have it assigned by lot according to the size of their tribes. This would be under God's sovereignty. Then every tribe would have the deep assurance, this is God's arrangement, God's assignment. God made this choice. But the 2.5 tribes could never have that kind of assurance. Deep within, they know, this is what we chose, this is what we wanted, and the Lord let us have it. But it's not sweet, and it's not pleasant. But talk about self-choice. Today's religion is a universe of self-choice. So many choices to have this and to have that according to what we like, according to how we assess our situation. Where are the believers today that will relinquish their self-choice and have a fixed attitude expressed this way? Lord, I want you to make the choice. I want your perfect will. I want what you have sovereignly arranged for me. I leave all the choices to you. I want to do things your way. You make the choice. Yes, that way requires that we cross the Jordan to experience the death of Christ applied to us, but that way brings us to the genuine experience and enjoyment of the all-inclusive Christ on God's terms and in God's way. And this is what I want. This is what I choose. I believe, brother, this is what you choose. This is the Lord's mercy to us, that we would say no to self-choice and amen to God's choice.
Well, this is one of those times when I wish the clock would not just stop and go backwards. I'd like to spend more time to linger here. I do believe the Lord's burden, however, was able to be uttered and brought forth today. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wild. Thank you very much for listening.
We give ourselves to Thee.
thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee spent 7 decades in the 20th century speaking Christ, first in Asia, and then North America, eventually all over the world. The culmination of those 70 years of ministry was his Life Study of the Bible, an exhaustive exposition of the entire Scriptures. This unique commentary focuses on how Christ can be life to man in an experiential and practical way. These programs encapsulate Witness Lee's speaking in just 26 minutes. But to get the complete riches, visit lifestudy.com. From there, you can read all of the Life Study messages in their entirety or download any of our more than 1,700 audio programs at no cost. Again, that website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.